Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
It's playoff time. Hope you made the playoffs. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to originalhooters.com, which represents all Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, for their continued presenting sponsorship of what we do here. I'd also like to bring your attention to Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. If you have a legal need, they hope you don't, but if you do, you may get a free consult from them easily online at brandonlegalgroup.com or call to request the free consult. Ask questions. 813-902-3576. Also, for your holiday gift giving, if you are looking for a unique gift for a Bucks fan, a Lightning fan, a Rays fan, a Noles fan, a Gators fan, a USF Bulls fan, Heads and Tails will get it done. Visit theheadsandtails.com. Theheadsandtails.com is the website for accurate, up-to-the-minute inventory on what is available at the store on West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. I encourage you to also visit the store, because just walking around, you will see something unique that may be that right gift for the fan of that team for the holiday season. Theheadsandtails.com, retail location on West Kennedy Boulevard, Heads and Tails in Tampa. Partners of 2025-2026, Todd Wright Tour Golf. My email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Congratulations are in order in the two leagues I commission. The 12-team league this year themed as the Battle of the Network Stars. Zach Morris from Bayside High is the number one overall seed. Jay Cody from Animal Kingdom is the two. Defending champion and this year representing Captain James Tiberius Kirk of the Starship Enterprise is the three seed. And Alex P. Keaton from Family Ties gets in as the four seed. Those are our semifinals in the playoffs. Real names, Rob Garabo. Morgan, hence the captain connection. And the man who writes the checks to the winner. He's done this before. He might do it again. Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, defending his money as a common contestant. Thanks for the handful of you who know that reference from Ben Stein and Jimmy Kimmel as his sidekick. In my 10-team league, the 11th year of the foundation, the four making the postseason, Sean, the great and legendary Channel 10 anchor Dave Wirth, Joey, director of golf at Tampa Bay Downs, and a huge supporter of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. And the final playoff seed came down to overtime in the Monday night game. There were so many possibilities. Jared, general manager of West Chase Golf Club, needed some form of a touchdown rushing or passing from Justin Herbert. Tara, Joey's wife, needed a touchdown from either A.J. Brown or Saquon Barkley in overtime to get the four seed. Since none of their players did, the doc, a geoscience professor at USF with nobody playing in the Monday night game, hung on in total points to earn the 4 seed. I was in the mix for that as well. Just needed a little bit more. I needed something in the second half from Nico Collins. The first half was fine. Nothing in the second half. That eliminated me going into Monday. I was in the clubhouse. Had Omarion Hampton not been active, I would have had Vidal as a possibility on Monday night. I instead played Benungai late Sunday afternoon. Vidal had a good game. It wouldn't have been enough, offsetting the points that I earned with Benungai. So in the foundation, the 1 seed is a 2-time champion. The 4 seed is a 2-time champion. They will play each other in the semis. Dave Wirth has never won our league, one of only 2 who haven't, and Joey has. So that's our playoffs. What are yours? Are you in or out? Email me at right.todd@yahoo.com. I'm going to focus specifically in one area now as we record this on December 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern time. I think 2 things stand out to me about where we're at in fantasy right now. 1, all the bye weeks are done. 1 is some really big names that you put a lot of draft capital in or treated you well for a long time this year may not be the right player to start in a single elimination playoff format. The names that come to mind are Philadelphia Eagles and Jonathan Taylor. Taylor can now be game planned. I mean, I think the Chiefs did it to him a few weeks ago. The Jaguars have an awesome run defense. They held him in check. Daniel Jones has now been removed from this equation. Phillip Rivers hasn't played since the COVID year. This is bad for the Colts. This is bad for Jonathan Taylor owners. And from the Eagles standpoint, Hurts having 2 turnovers on the same play, throwing a pick to end the game. Barkley's big 50-yard run from a tush-push formation is an exception rather than the rule these days. A.J. Brown has had 3 solid games in a row. 3 good ones. But, yeah, this is where, again, I've talked about this recently and over the years. This is the time of year Matthew Berry says don't get cute. I say, if you have a better option, play it. You have the right to bench big names if the data and your gut tell you you can bench them. But the key is you have to have a better option. You can't just sit them and then go looking for somebody. That's one thing that stands out. Here's another thing. I think there's a lot of things going on right now at the quarterback position that are interesting. Whether it's someone who's on your bench or even on waivers that could help you win in the playoffs. That might not necessarily be the guy who started for you at quarterback most of the regular season. Based on my scoring settings, Josh Allen is QB1. This week he goes up against the Pats. The previous time he went up against the Pats, it was okay. It was passable. But obviously, in his last 4 games, he's balled out for huge numbers in week 11 and week 14. Mahomes is 2, but I know from, I talked about how Tara didn't make the playoffs. She didn't get virtually anything out of Mahomes against the Texans on Sunday night. Despite the fact that Mahomes, for the most part this year, really other than 3 games, he's more than 3. He's had 2 bad games, 2. At Buffalo, against Houston. Chargers are next. not a great matchup for him. I mean, his wide receivers, his tight ends, his running backs all let him down with a ton of drop balls. Dax 3, QB 3 in my settings for the season. He's been playing well. He goes up against the Vikings next, which statistically looks like a bad matchup. Based on last week, looks like a bad matchup. But in the weeks before, they were shredded. You worry, is something up with Pickens all of a sudden? You have to check the status on Lamb after he was concussed, abbreviating what was a great game for him in the Thursday nighter against the Lions. Matt Stafford gets Detroit next. Stafford's numbers weren't good against Carolina 2 weeks ago with his 31st career pick six. Better against Arizona. I don't think you're sitting Stafford. I'm just going through the list here. QB5 is Drake May, coming off a bye week. Sorry, I'm using my phone. I didn't turn off the ringer. In the previous game against Buffalo, May got a lot of credit for what he did in that game. Fantasy-wise, it wasn't much. May's not going to give you an enormous fantasy game as a quarterback. But yes, he's a QB1. I mean, I'm looking at him right now on the season. Everybody's had a bye week. He's QB5. I think he's more of a low-end QB1. Buffalo is playing for the division here. They lose this, forget it. Jalen Hurts is next. Here, Jalen Hurts looks like someone you can bench. But here's the problem. They're hosting Vegas this week, who are just awful. Maybe they're not awful statistically defensively against quarterbacks from a fantasy standpoint, but they're so awful offensively, they give opposing offenses so many opportunities to get yards and to get points. Caleb Williams comes in next. He goes up against the tough Browns defense. Caleb is a low-end QB1. He had a tough game against Green Bay. I had him at 13.7 fantasy points. The previous week against Philly, 8.43. This week against Cleveland. Next week against Green Bay again. Against Minnesota, he was at 9.03 points in my scoring settings. It isn't a great play. Bo Nix is next. I'm surprised he's this high in my overall QB settings. He's been passable in his last three games. He's only really had two big games all year. And this week he gets Green Bay's defense, which won't be easy. Not a great spot for him. Herbert playing so hurt. Goes up against the Chiefs this coming week. Herbert doesn't look like a guy you should play right now. And he hasn't had a big fantasy game since week 9 against Tennessee, which was the third and three straight big games in a row against Indy, Minnesota, and Tennessee. Since then, not very good. Daniel Jones is next in my rankings, done for the season. Jared Goff comes in next, gives you nothing with his legs. But it's passable, pun intended. He's got a high floor because he has Amon-Ra. He's got Campbell calling plays for Jameson Williams. He can throw to Jahmyr Gibbs. He gets the Ram defense this week. Jordan Love turning it on, as he's done before this time of year. Three of his last four games have been quite good. Gets the very tough Bronco defense this week to give you pause. Then the Bears again next week. Next in my rankings, now we get into the varials. Some of these guys might be on waivers. Trevor Lawrence. Would you dare plug and play Trevor Lawrence in a playoff game? Well, in his last four, I show him with a high floor for a QB1 and he got to 20 fantasy points at Tennessee in an exploitable matchup. He gets the Jets this week. You're not going to want to play him against Denver in 2 weeks. But maybe a consideration this week against the Jets. Baker Mayfield has fallen off a cliff. First six games in my scoring settings, and I'm going to round up or down to a whole number. Baker had 21, 18, 16, 17, 24, and 18. Since then, 9.6, 3.07, a bye, 21 against New England, 15.67 against Buffalo, 1.27 against the Rams, 13.17 against Arizona, 10.27 against New Orleans. This week gets the Falcons. The matchup's fine, but the matchup was fine against New Orleans and Arizona. And if you need a big game out of your quarterback, Baker's not your guy right now. Sorry again for my phone. Let me get back to the app. Sorry for the interruption there. That really threw some things off. Position QB. Stats for the season. My apologies. And fantasy points. Okay. Sam Darnold. You're basically starting him to get Jackson Smith and Jigba points. That's what you're doing. He put up solid numbers two of the last three games, but you can look at it this way. He's had awful numbers three of the last five. He goes up against the Colts this week. Colts are reeling. Games at home. Darnold's in play. Is Jackson Dart in play? As bad as the Giants are, going up against Washington this week. Lamar Jackson. Way down the list because he missed so many games. Put up nearly 20 fantasy points in my scoring settings against Pittsburgh. Get Cincinnati this week. That's a pretty good spot. Granted, Lamar Jackson's probably not on waivers, but if you haven't been using him, you can use him this week. Aaron Rodgers is next. Had one of his best weeks since week 7 against Cincinnati, against Baltimore. Goes up against Miami and Detroit. Good matchups the next 2 weeks. It's not a great play. It's more of a desperate play with Rodgers. Brissett, I used him a lot over the last month. He's been very steady. High floor guy. Jacoby Brissett, since taking over for Kyler Murray. In my scoring settings, how consistent is this? Since week 6, 18.57, 17.9, a bye. 23.1, the only game Arizona won in this stretch. 17.7, 18.87, 16.57, 17.63, 17.23. He does get the Texans this week. But Jacoby has been as consistent of a QB1 without a huge ceiling as there is in games he's played this year. Bryce Young, some are already saying, has Bryce Young now surpassed C.J. Stroud? Very quietly. The guys who went 1-2 in the draft a few years ago. Bryce Young off a bye. Two very good games fantasy-wise in the last three. Gets the Saints and the Bucks next. Would you dare? And I'll give you one note on Tua. He's not an option in fantasy. I mean, you really don't even want to use him as a QB2. I don't see... Tua hasn't put up double digits in more than one game since week 5. And that was against Raheem in Atlanta. He's got great matchups the next 2 weeks, but use those more with Achane than anything. Granted, the Dolphins had three running backs score touchdowns last week. I thought this was very interesting on when Tua runs, how he doesn't get the job done. Maybe it's because he's saving his life and he slides and he gets down. But the number either going into last week or coming out of last week is that Tua Tagovailoa has scrambled 19 times, scramble and or rushing attempt, 19 times this year and gotten one first down. That's like the complete opposite of what Josh Allen does. Almost every time Josh Allen takes off, he gets the first down, or it's the only reason he runs, or he gets a touchdown. Shedeur Sanders, I do want to make special mention of him. He's in play. He's in play off the big game last week. One of the biggest quarterback numbers out there. And he's going up against the Bears this week. If you need a very bold, wild play this week at quarterback because you don't trust your guy to give you a good number, Sanders is a playoff lottery ticket, and he's probably sitting on your waiver wire. We'll do another one of these later in the week as we get you set for your fantasy playoffs. Email me your questions at right.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by OriginalHooters.com.